إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, it is the nature of the human being, and that is the secret of his survival and his success, that when he has a problem, he looks for a solution. He does not simply give in, he doesn't lose hope. He looks for a solution. Today, I remind myself and you, we are living in a society where we don't have a problem, but we have multiple problems. Our entire society is a problem. This whole world is completely immersed in problems. We are living in a society which is very, very sick, extremely sick. And we have become used to that sickness. It's not a sign of health to be adjusted to sickness. We have become used to that, and so we don't see that as a sickness. But we are in a society which is extremely sick, and all the problems that we see around us, and may Allah protect you from them, problems that affect us directly or indirectly, all of these are symptoms. These are boils on the skin that are bursting. These are major migraines. These are symptoms indicative of terminal illness, which is inside the body. These are symptoms indicative of the terminal stages of cancer, perhaps, which are inside the body. And therefore, anyone with any intelligence, the first thing that they will do is to deal with that sickness, is to try to get rid of that cancer, it is try to cure that disease. So a person with any intelligence will seek a solution, will seek a cure. And as far as we are concerned, Muslims, we are in an even more peculiar situation, because we are supposed to be the doctors of the society. We have been sent with the cure for the illnesses of the society. But very strangely, unlike any doctors that I know, unlike any doctors with a conscience, we have not only forgotten our role and our duty, which is to bring cure to societies, to cure the society, but we have even forgotten what the cure is. And so we are suffering and wandering around blind like those who are actually blind. Now, people who are actually blind have an excuse to say that my eyes cannot see. But people who have blindfolded themselves, who are walking around with their eyes tightly shut, what excuse do they have? And that's our situation as Muslims, generally speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with a cure, and the name of that cure is the Quran. But we leave the Quran. We do not study the Quran. We do not practice the Quran. Those of us who read the Quran, just read it for the sake of sawab. Obviously, you will get sawab. But that is not the reason for the nuzul of the Quran. The Quran was not sent in order for us to get sawab. The Quran was sent in order for us to live by it, so that we create for ourselves a beautiful society, a life of great comfort, right, a life of great honor, hayatan tayyiba, and a beautiful akhirah once we die. The Quran came to show us the way to live in this world. And the one who brought the Quran to us, Muhammad Rasulullah, was sent not only to teach us, not only to read the Quran to us, not only to teach us the meaning of the Quran, but actually to demonstrate how that Quran is to be implemented in our daily lives. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I bear witness, and every Muslim bears witness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself bears witness that Rasulullah did his job completely and totally to a level of excellence. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to award him with the highest of stations and the highest of rewards. The question is, the Prophet ﷺ did his job, but what about us who were given that job to continue? Today we are sadly faced with a situation where we as a people, illa mashallah, except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, generally speaking, we Muslims are not interested in the Quran anymore. We don't care to read it, we don't care to understand it, we don't care to study it. We don't even care to go and attend a lecture where somebody is explaining the Quran. All that we have to do is to take our bodies there and sit ourselves down in the chair and listen. Thereby, inshallah, getting some benefit and getting some hidayah and getting some understanding about what's happening in our own lives as well as what's happening in the world, and more importantly, what to do about it. But we don't show this interest. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah ﷺ called this act of teaching and learning the Quran the best of all actions. In the hadith narrated by Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the meaning of which is, the best among you is the one who teaches and learns the Quran. And in another narration, he said, the best among you is the one who teaches or learns the Quran. So and or both have been used. He said, the best among you is the one who teaches the Quran, and the best among you is the one who learns the Quran. But look at our attitude. When there is an opportunity to learn the Quran, we ignore that opportunity. We don't take advantage of the opportunity. What are we saying? We are saying, I do not want to be the best among people. Is this our way of showing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sending His kalam and for sending His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very tendency of the Muslims, which of course Allah knew. And Allah said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. And the Prophet ﷺ, the Rasul, cried out, O my Rabb, surely my people have treated this Qur'an as a forsaken thing, as a thing they have given up, as a thing that is forgotten, as a thing that they have thrown behind their backs. Now, brothers and sisters, what is our excuse? What is our excuse? I seriously remind myself and you, let us think about this, because a day will come and we will be forced to give this excuse, where we will be asked, why is it that you did not take the trouble to learn the Quran? What is it that you were doing which was more important than learning the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which gathering were you in that was more important than the gathering for the sake of learning the Quran? I suggest you, let us mix those answers, because if we are not going to go to those gatherings, then in effect by our behavior we are saying that the place where I choose to be is better than the place where the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being taught. It is absolutely incredibly shameful that people who cannot even recite the Surah Al-Fatiha correctly, people who don't have a clue about what is in the Quran, people who don't understand a single word of the Quran, and call themselves Muslims, they still do not have the sense to go and attend a lecture, to go and attend a majlis of seerah, to go and attend a majlis of tafsir, to go and attend a majlis of tajweed. They make no effort whatsoever. And they choose to live in their ignorance, in their complete ignorance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the answer for this? Even if you... Of course, we will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. May Allah protect us from that. But in this life itself, what sense does it make? You're living a life which is full of stress. You're living a life where you fear everything except the one you should fear, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're living a life which is full of all kinds of problems. And when the solution is being given to you free of cost, and not only free of cost, just being there as ibadah, listening to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as ibadah, listening to the tafsir of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as ibadah, listening to the meaning of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as ibadah, you choose to ignore those majalis. What will you answer on the Day of Judgment? I suggest you prepare your answers, because you will be questioned. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and save us from ourselves. وَصَلَى اللَّهَ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ